Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday was the first Sunday in Advent. If you were here, as you walked in the door, all you saw the decorations, all the greenery and the Christmas trees, you said, wow, we're getting ready for Christmas. We're preparing ourselves for Christmas. You know, the Boy Scout motto is, be prepared, be prepared. And during Advent, we try to get our people prepared. Most of the sermons are you prepared? Because he says, I'm coming again. I'm coming to take my believers to heaven. Friday morning, we got up, looked out the window, and like Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, 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 shazam! Everything was white with snow. We couldn't believe it. Boy, again. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And then maybe you could hear, it's beginning to look a little like Christmas. And we are prepared. We have a list, a shopping list. I got this one, I got this one. I forgot my uncle. I'm going to get this with my daddy. We're preparing to give those gifts to those people that we love. Oh, we've got to make cookies. Everybody likes Christmas cookies. Again, preparation, preparation, and preparation. But are we prepared for His second coming? This will be the last time. Everything else will be thrown away. He comes to judge the quick and the dead. And that's why it's written by Mark in the gospel that we read this morning. He was a voice crying from the wilderness. He was a voice that was telling them, prepare the way of the Lord. He's coming. He's coming. Repent. Confess and be baptized. Repent, confess, and be baptized. He's coming. He's coming. And if you looked at him, you would say, you know, what's he trying to do? He was dressed in camel skin, a belt around his waist. His diet was locust and wall honey. This man came from the desert. This man lived in the desert. Now he comes out here and says, repent. Repent. He's coming. Prepare the way for the Lord. Are we prepared for Him to come? If He would come today, it'd be nice because we're all in church. We could all stand in line because we're the chosen children of God. But if we were not in church, and nobody would tell us. And this is why God sent this man. The children of Israel hadn't had a prophet in their midst for over 400 years. And now comes this man, this man who was dressed uncommonly, this man who was shouting, but he was gathering all the people. People from Jerusalem were coming. The nearby villages were coming. And some of them went and brought their friends. Come and hear what he's telling. It's a message. And some of them said, he must be the Messiah. And then he said, hey, wait, wait. I'm not the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. And he's greater than I am. I'm not even worthy to get down and tie his shoelaces. I am like a slave. He is greater than I. But prepare yourself. He is coming. He is coming. Repent. Be baptized. The people were listening. The people were getting closer. And then they start lining up to be baptized. They would confess their sins. They were repentant. Later on, then he would baptize them. He would baptize them. And you know, he got a lot of people to come. Many people came to, stood in line to be baptized. They were going to change their lives. They were going to be children of God, the true God that God had promised to them. And here he was coming. So they were preparing themselves for his coming. Getting ready. St. Matthew writes a little of John the Baptist here. He says, all of Jerusalem came, and many of them got in line to be baptized. And St. Matthew says, there were Pharisees in the line. There were Sadducees in the line. And we know about Pharisees. They're the ones that gave Jesus a lot of trouble. They're the ones that don't believe that he was the Son of God. They always try to put him down. But John knew, you snakes in the grass, get out of line. You just come here and get in line because these people are believers. And you want to be included in that group. And we have people like that even today. And then there were some soldiers in line too. And there were some tax collectors in line too. And they came up to him and said, what must we confess? What have we done wrong? And John said to the soldiers, well, don't use your sword to get what you want. Don't fight with the people. Love them. Put that sword away. Be nice and kind. Then the tax collectors came as, you know, what must we do? You're taking advantage of the people. You charge them more than the taxes. Stop that. That's wrong. And they came up and were baptized. They confessed. Yes, we have done wrong. We have sinned against the Lord. We have sinned against our neighbor. And there's a way to put it to the world today. Straighten up and fly right, or you're going to get it. Straighten up and fly right, or you're going to get it. And that's what it means. I mean, repent, confess, and ask to be forgiven. Here at Emmanuel, we just did that. We just confessed. Because we were baptized when we were children, some of us were baptized when we were adults. And that's why I use the candle, the baptism candle, to remember our baptism. Our sponsors brought us up here. Our sponsors answered all the questions because we were too young. And then we went into confirmation and again, but this time we confessed. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I will be faithful until the end, even if death should come upon me. We stood here beside and in front of the altar, confessing ourselves. We belong to you. We're your children. We're going to be faithful. Why are so many pews empty? What happened to those that made that vow? Straighten up and fly right. Make way for the Lord to enter. You remember these words, "Most merciful God, I confess I am sinful. I sin daily in thought, word, and deed, in what I have done and what I have not done. I have not loved you with my whole heart, or my neighbors as myself." But then comes the good news. "I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Just think, how many are not here today and didn't hear those beautiful words? Your sins are forgiven. Why? Because you are a child of God. You confessed your sins to your Father, and he says, "I forgive you." The reading in the Old Testament says, double. "I forgive you double for your sins." Your sins are erased, and they're erased again. What wonderful things that we hear from God's Word. From God's Word. But you know, we have people who are so loaded down with guilt. They're afraid to come to church because church is only for the good people. Church is only for those that love God. "I don't love God because look what I did. I fight, I curse, I swear, I steal. I do everything that's wrong. Can I come to my God?" Yes. You are a child of God. How often do we pray, "Our Father which art in heaven"? Our Father. You have a Father who is God himself. You know how fathers love their children. Our Heavenly Father is a Father of love. He gave up his Son to take our place. His Son suffered all our sins. All our sins. Not only for us here, but for the whole world. And like the people that came up to John and said, "What have we done wrong?" There are people out there that are sinning daily and they don't know that it's a sin. They do it as every day. They do it. Why can't I do it? Because you're a child of God. How do I know? Because you were baptized. Because you once made a vow. And he will never let you go. He will always be with you. What are some headlines that we see in our newspaper today? Sins of the world. Oh boy. Sexual harassment. We hear that every day. This and that, you know. Human trafficking. Murder. Murdered children. Children murder their mothers and families. Raid roads. Drunk driving. The list just goes on and on. What about the shouting matches? The shouting at each other. At home, with our husband, our wife, the children among themselves. Are those sinful? Are those children of God? Or do they belong to the world? We raise our voices. We even raise our voices for a parking place. We get so upset. Are those children of God? Are those the sins of today? And then as we sit at the luncheon table or maybe the dinner table, we chew up our pastors. We have something to say about them, not what they said to us. But the mistakes he made. Why did he say this? Why did he say this? Oh, I think he was talking about her, about him. I know what he's talking about. He wasn't talking to me. It's God's word talking to you. And that's why John the Baptist had lines of people. They were sorry. They were confessing, "I am a sinful person. I need my God." And the only way I can come to him is by acknowledge that he is the only one that can save me. We have a Father who is forgiving. His love is so great that he gave up his Son to take our place. His Son, Jesus Christ. His birth that we're going to celebrate at Christmas time. You know, it's his birthday. On his birthday, we have a cake, candles, a bunch of presents for him who's celebrating his birthday. No, a lot of times we say, what did I get? Where's my present? And we forget that it's his birthday. And we give thanks that we have a Father in heaven who gave up his Son to take our place. And that's where the joy comes. That little baby. Wow, God kept his promise. And he's coming again. He's coming once more, and that'll be the last time. Our Advent services, they prepare us for his coming. And are you prepared? And we can say yes. Because our Father in heaven loves us and we help in loving him in return. Loving our neighbors. Doing the things that please him. Let us close with a prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is that we can talk to our Father. No sin is too great that we cannot say, Father, forgive me. No sin is too great that he does not listen to our confession. And then the words that come, son, daughter, child, teen, your sins are forgiven. So in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give thanks. Amen, amen, and amen.